The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." And Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking to you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. And meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So this weekend, this Mass is not only our first scrutiny, but it's also our PSA, Commitment Weekend, our Diocesan Services Appeal Commitment Weekend. And normally, as part of it, we have our bishop's video and short message that we play. This year, we had technical difficulties with the proper cords and new computers, things like that. So I don't have the message to play. And of course, this year, I think the first time that I can ever remember, as part of this short 3-minute video, a good chunk of it is him referring to an image and talking about an image. So, of course, that image, though, is in the little pamphlets, and these pamphlets are in the pew, and you might have received them in the past. And so, again, I'll just do my best to share his thoughts there. And again, the heart of this annual appeal, part of our giving, part of our supporting the church, right? This annual appeal goes to the immediate needs of our diocese. It's put to use right away, as again, so much of our Sunday offertory is here at the parish, and it's to help support works that we need to do, are part of the work of the church that no one parish can do alone. And so there's many, many activities and ministries that it goes to support, not least of which the formation and education of all of our seminarians, a big part of it, but also Catholic Charities and helping with the formation of others, deacons and laity throughout our diocese, the work of the diocesan staff to help all of us as parishes, and on and on and on. Some of those are listed here in the pamphlet. But this year, the bishop's theme, right? There's always a theme from a scripture passage. It's the offering of the just enriches the altar, and this reality of thinking about drawing our attention to what takes place here at the Mass, profoundly connected to the work we do in our daily lives, including this diocesan services appeal. And so he talks about this image, which I found out too is painted by someone from the Jackson area, someone in our diocese. It's actually in our Faith magazine if you get it, a little conversation with the artist. But what's the picture of? It's a picture of a family bringing forward the gifts at Sunday Mass, the bread and the wine and the water, and then as well the offertory, the monetary offertory. And what the bishop points out too is the ciborium, this one that contains the bread that will become the body of Jesus, also contains an image of the cathedral, in the sense that this is the church, the entire church, bringing forward what God has given us so that God can transform it, Jesus, into his own body for us. And then the mother bringing the wine that will become his blood, and the son there with the other children bringing the offertory. So, as always, again, my personal, I'm always very, very grateful for all of you who join in that. My encouragement is that everyone would, again, at whatever level is appropriate and possible for you, but like our Sunday offertory, it's something that we're meant to all participate in and share in and be a part of, because it's the entire work of our family and the one body of Christ. So there are the envelopes there. You can make your pledge, your offering in the envelope. Some of you have already gotten it at home. You can do it online. I know these days I usually do mine online. But again, on behalf of our parish, on behalf of the bishop too, thank you in advance. I think I don't have it written in front of me. I meant to write it down, forgot. But our goal, and in his years past, it's been the case consistently. I can't think of a time when we didn't, but always meet our goal as a parish. Each parish has their own goal, and ours is just over $14,000 this year. a little less than last year.
Yes, you still get a homily. God has blessed you. I suppose that by now we have all come to familiarize ourselves with this gospel as the woman at the well. I suppose that most of us are familiar with the woman at the well as a story, and probably just that. I suppose that most of us have an understanding of this event relative to the level of relationship we have with Christ. I suppose that if we take another look together at this scrutiny and enter into it as a willing participant, so that when Christ asks of us, "Give me a drink," we will see this event as a life-changing, a life-sustaining, a life-nourishing, a spring of water welling up to eternal life, all in all, a Eucharistic event in our lives. I suppose that after we are done with this scrutiny, we will remember it not as the woman at the well, but as Christ at the well. There is a lot of suppositions here, and it is my hope that they will all be corrected, righted, guided, and exposed as needed, and satisfied according to the teachings that have been passed on to us. This event in the gospel today happens in a place that was the traditional worship site designated by God in Torah to ritually enact the covenant in the shadow of Mount Gerizim. Who has heard of this mountain? It's a place most of us never speak of, or at least even remember from this gospel, because we never hear of it. Jerusalem is the place that is most likely familiar to us. Mount Gerizim was important from the time of the judges to Jesus' day, as the Samaritans considered it the proper place to worship the Lord. Because of its religious significance, it is a major contention between the Jews and the Samaritans. So Jacob's well is the backdrop of the gospel today to help us better understand the mission of Christ in our midst. It was about noon that the encounter with Jesus and the Samaritan woman took place. The time of this encounter is of some importance, as everything of Christ is. It would have been when the sun was beating down at its high point in the sky. It was the time that people would stay inside to avoid the midday heat. All the work for the start of the day would be done in the morning, while it was comfortable for them to do so. And the Jews believed this time at the well to be proper to them, for they were following the precepts of the Lord. At the same time, the Samaritans thought it proper to worship the Lord where it has always been done. And since they were separated in this belief, it became a point of discord for them in life. Consequently, this discord kept them apart, and so much so that they grew in fraternal hatred one towards the other. So the Samaritans and the Jews did not mix company amongst themselves. Hence, Christ at the well. Christ is at the well at midday, knowing all along the discord between the people who use the well, and that an encounter with the Samaritan woman would be at this time. And so it was. Jesus' call for the Samaritan woman to be a willing participant through the words, "Give me a drink," draws some skepticism from her. Because Jews have nothing in common with Samaritans, she asks, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jesus suggests the words of his request, "Give me a drink," to be that of the Samaritan woman when he answers her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Still, skepticism is the Samaritan's way as she responds to Jesus, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water?" We can see her tone is softening as curiosity takes over. And Jesus responds, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It is here that the Samaritan woman's curiosity is piqued. After all that skepticism and after all that curiosity, now, in so many words, she is asking the Jewish man, "Give me a drink," when she responds, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." So Jesus further reveals her to herself when he asks her to go and retrieve her husband and come back to the well. When she informs Jesus that she has no husband, Jesus affirms her answer by the telling of her history with five husbands and the one that is not her husband that she is with now. By this, she knows that Jesus is a prophet. To gain a better understanding of her faith, she engages in conversation with Jesus. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus does not respond in a way that comes against her faith. On the contrary, he comes to reveal the fullness of her faith, that worship of the Father will be in spirit and neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. He responds, "You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. So the door is now open for the woman to accept him as the Messiah when Jesus says to her, 'I am he.' And indeed, she does accept him as she leaves her water jar and went into town to tell the people of whom she has met." There is something that happens at the end of this event. I don't know if you caught it or not, but let me point it out for you. She leaves her jar of water. It is at this point that her relationship with God takes her out of the letter of the law and into the spirit of the law, where a spring of water begins to well up inside of her, a spring of water that will lead to eternal life. And this leads her to tell the people of the town about Jesus as she begins to evangelize. Our faith leads us here today. Here we attend Mass, our midday, coming to the well for water with our own water jar. We know that at midday the sun shines the brightest, so no matter what time Mass is at, it is our midday. And who do we encounter but Christ at the well? It is here that we are seeking that spring of water welling up to eternal life inside us. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we going to go home with our water jar full, or are we going to go home with our water jar empty? I would hope that after spending time in heaven, on earth, at the Mass, that we would leave our empty water jars here. It would be so much easier to experience Christ in others and to have others experience Christ in us if our water jars would be left at the altar. Here we are at the well, and the sacrifice of Christ is before us from the cross to the Eucharist. This is Jesus' response to the Samaritan woman's request, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." From the cross, he says, "I thirst." He died so that we may have life. Let us leave our water jars here for him who took on our sins and washed them in his blood. His "I thirst" from the cross is his "give me a drink" at the well. It is kind of morbid to say that we are quenching his thirst with our sins, but he shows us there are no bounds to his love for us. As far as the Jews were from the Samaritans is as far as sinners are from Christ. But at the well, the love of Christ knows no distance. That is why we do not take Christ off the cross. Because as Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And Fulton Sheen defends it this way: the cross without Jesus is just another tree, and Jesus without the cross is a man without a mission. This is our understanding of Christ at the well. From the Eucharist, he says, take and drink. It is at this request that we are invited to share in Christ's mission at the well, to have that spring of water welling up to eternal life within us. This is our desire for the Eucharist, that Christ may live in us. As Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, I live, yet now it is not I, but truly Christ who lives in me. If our experience of Christ is the same as that of the Samaritan woman, then we know that if we are a willing participant, that is, responding to the request of Christ to give me a drink, the sacraments would no longer be stranger to us. And the emphasis is on the plural, sacraments. Jesus instituted them all so that we may no longer thirst. It is the spring of water welling up to eternal life in us that prompts us to renew our baptismal vows. It is the revelation of the five husbands that brings us to the need of confession. The I thirst from the cross and the take and drink from the altar fuels our desire for the Eucharist. It is in our asking the Lord for a drink so that the Spirit may reside in us in confirming our faith. It is the revelation of the current man she is with to be married only once. It is the gift of God who, as high priest, is saying to us to ask him for a drink. It is the blessing of God to anoint us with his presence. It is through the sacraments instituted by Christ that we find a life-changing, a life-sustaining, a life-nourishing, a spring of water welling up to eternal life, all in all, a Eucharistic event in our lives. It is Christ at the well. And it is through a willing participation in these sacraments that we will find ourselves abandoning our empty water jars at the altar and heading out these doors to tell of the good news. I have found the Christ.